It's now the Q&A program, questions and answers with Mufti Afzal Hussain Ilyas. And welcome, Mufti. How are you, Mufti Saab?
Alhamdulillah, how are you?
Alhamdulillah. Mufti Afzal Hussain Ilyas, inshallah, will be talking to us about Umrah in Hajj tonight, inshallah. And besides that, he'll take any of your questions that you have. The number to dial is 011-854-1548. And if you do not want to ask a question direct, we suggest that you do, then the other way is to fax the question to us on 011-854-7024. Inshallah. So let's commence today's program, Mufti Ilyas, and we are doing Umrah in Hajj. Please explain to us, what is Umrah in Hajj, Mufti?
As I go along, and if you have any questions, you can interrupt me.
Yeah, inshallah.
And, I just remembered that we have already, to a great extent, discussed, by the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the major portion of Umrah, and many Hajjis are about to leave. And in tonight's discussion, I would like to mention proceedings of Hajj, but inshallah, as announced, I will go through the proceedings of the Umrah very quickly also, so that those who are expecting to hear about the Umrah will also hear it quickly also. As far as the Umrah is concerned, one should realize that the Umrah is obviously two faraz, two wajib, two mustahab. The faraz of the Umrah is tawaf, and to be in the condition of ihram. Obviously, the potential haji or the one mu'tamir who is performing the umrah, he has already put on the ihram on entry into Makkah al-Mukarramah, and now will be in the state of ihram. And the second is make the tawaf. After the tawaf, not forgetting the two rakats of wajibut tawaf, which should be performed behind the Maqam Ibrahim if it is possible. Otherwise, anyway, in the Mataf area or in the Haram, etc. Then to drink some Zamzam, which is mustahab, and also to go to the Multazam. Multazam is that portion between the Hajri Aswad and the door of the Kaaba. And to go there, place the chest there and the cheek on the Kaaba wall and make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If there is room and if there is place and if there is no pushing and jolting, otherwise to stand far away and inshallah make dua to Allah. I cannot reach there, but I definitely, if I had the opportunity and the health to reach there, I would go there and make dua. Allah ta'ala is Ghafurur Rahim. And inshallah, he will accept the dua. After that, not forgetting your ninth istilam, I'm going to perform the Safa Marwa the Sa'i. And that is the next wajib. The two wajib of Umrah is, one is the Sa'i, and the next one is the Halak or Qasar. After Sa'i, that means Safa Marwa, Safa Marwa, remember that Safa to Marwa is counted one. And Marwa to Safa is counted two. A person must not be mistaken and say between Safa, Marwa, Safa, that is one. No, then he will make 14 rounds, and that will be very tiring for a person if he does so. And then subsequently, after that, is a person must make Halak or Qasar after completing the Sa'i, that is wajib. Then, alhamdulillah, the two faraiz are finished, two wajibs finished, and the two mustahab finished. A person can then, inshallah, adorn the normal civilian clothing. Now, after adorning the normal civilian clothing, a person remains in Makkah al-Mukarramah, waiting for the 8th of Zil Hajj, because most South Africans perform the tamattu type of Hajj. Meaning, they will adorn one ihram for Umrah and another ihram for Hajj. alhamdulillah, they will wait. In this waiting period, we instruct and advise the Haji, the potential Haji, that do not miss your Salat with Jamaat. The ladies, it is better for them to read the hotel rooms. And also that your agent, whoever your agent be, if he is providing food in a demarcated area in your hotel, then please make sure that it is separate. The lady is separate, the female separate, the men, males separate. Otherwise, you are going to the blessed place of Makkah al-Mukarramah and you'll be sinning there even. And unfortunately, many illicit relationships build up there because of the breakfast area being same, the lunch area being same, the supper area being same. Then because of ikhtilat all the time in communication, touching, walking, greeting each other, friendliness develops, and as a result that everybody becomes another person's uncle and auntie and brother, sister, cousin, and this is absolutely against the laws of Islam and regulations of Islam. So a person should be very cautious about this. You have paid for your package, you have paid so much money, don't go and start sinning in Makkah al-Mukarramah. You can tell your agent, please, and most agents can do this. They have two separate floors. On one floor, the men can eat, on the next floor, the females can eat. If you just speak to the agent and speak to him decently, he will understand it, and inshallah, he will allow these two separate facilities to go on.
Inshallah. Listeners, you can call in and ask Mufti Saab any question you have pertaining to Hajj, 011-854-1548. And inshallah, he will answer your questions, your queries for you. We have a question here, Mufti Saab, and it is about performing Hajj for a deceased person. He has left money, the bequest, the grandfather, and the family members want to know who must go for on behalf of their grandfather. He did not specify specifically who should go. He just left in his will that this money I have left for my Hajj to be performed. Now they want to know, they want advice that who must they send to make their grandfather's Hajj.
In this case here, that one of the we should worry about, if a bequest has been left, and was it a, well, is it going to be a Hajj, a Badal, as far as Hajj, a Badal, Wasiya. And there is another one called Hajj, a Badal, Ghair Wasiya. Hajj, a Badal, Wasiya, that the person left money, and he wrote in his will, and due to some unforeseen circumstances beyond his control, he left money now. He was ill, incapacitated, or feeble, or sheer negligent, but he left now money. And he stated that upon my demise, this will be taken out from the one-third. This will be taken out from the one-third of the estate. And then when it is Hajj a Badal Wasiya, I would advise the concerned family to try to look for an alim, because that alim will understand the laws of Hajj, especially the Hajj a Badal Wasiya. They are more intricate than the Hajj a Badal Ghair Wasiya, non-bequest. Because the Hajj a Badal non-bequested one, there is not so many restrictions. But when it is but restrictions, I prefer they send an alim who has performed a few hajjas and who knows about the hajj and the laws, and inshallah he'll be able to do that task properly.
Inshallah.
And otherwise, if it's a non-bequest, they can send anybody. It need not be a family member in both cases.
Okay, and if the deceased has requested it, one of the family members must go, then only that person is allowed to go, Mufti?
No. If the person, for example, if he requested a family member to go, and that family member is, for example, incapacitated, one. Secondly, if that family member does not know adequate laws of Hajj, is ignorant. Thirdly, if the family member, for example, is caught up in his own worldly affairs, so there they do not have to follow that law, but if they find it compatible what he's talking about and that person is available to go, then they should utilize him. Otherwise, they should use the best person for this, for the execution of the Hajj.
Jazakallah. Listeners, 011-854-1548 is the number to dial. You can ask Mufti Ilyas any questions that you have pertaining to Hajj and Umrah, or any concerns or doubts that you may have on your mind. Please ask Mufti Saab, so that when you do go there to the holy places, inshallah, you will see that your Hajj becomes easy for you. And sometimes when you go there, then the questions come up when you are there. So we should plan ourselves well in advance and prepare ourselves for this spiritual Hajj. Many of us only go for it once in a lifetime. Now, Mufti Saab, you were talking about Hajj in Umrah, and also from the last question on Hajj and Badr. There are three different types of Hajj. Two of them are with Umrah, and the one is without Umrah. Now, in the case of Hajj and Badr, which type of Hajj must be performed?
There was at one stage written in classical works that the Hajj a Badal Wasiya could only be the Iran type of Hajj, wherein the person wears one Ihram, and with that Ihram he performs the Umrah and he stays in the Ihram and then he performs the Hajj. However, there was a conference held in Mumbai. Great number of ulama have now said that a tamattu can also be performed for a Hajj Badal Wasiya even. So Hajj Badal Ghair Wasiya, not bequest, that is any type of Hajj. And now also the Wasiya type, also you can make tamattu. Because tamattu is far easier, because a person comes out of the Ihram and goes into civilian clothing, whereby he is able to move about more freely without the restrictions imposed upon him when he is in the state of Ihram, the prohibition.
The other question we have here is, the person says that he made one Umrah, and actually it was a lady, she made the Umrah, and after performing the Umrah, she forgot to cut her hair. At night, she had some relationship with her husband, and the next day she went to make a second Umrah, thinking that she was out of Umrah, and she went to make a second Umrah. She went back into Ihram to perform another Umrah. While she was making the second Umrah, then she remembered that she did not cut her hair for the last Umrah to come out of that Ihram. What's the masla here with regards to her relationship with the husband?
She has to now give one dam, because she was not out of Ihram. The last wajib act, cutting of the hair, she did not do it prior to that she had some relationship. Now, because she had that relationship, she was still in the state of Ihram. And she's lucky she's in the Umrah and not Hajj. So there they will give them. Now, but the other difficulty arises here, that she never left the first Ihram. She did not leave the first Ihram. And now she went to adorn a second Ihram. So she hasn't left the first Ihram. Mulana, are you following me?
Yeah.
You see, she never leave the first Ihram.
Hmm.
And in that first Ihram, she has already committed this error. Then she went away to form the second Ihram. When she has not left the first Ihram, how can the second Ihram be valid?
Hmm.
So she give one dam and go, and after that make the Umrah after that.
Okay, so a dhamm, just to refresh in our memories, it's to slaughter an animal.
Slaughter a goat, slaughter one goat or one sheep or one part, in a seventh part, big animal, that is a camel, buffalo, or a cow.
You said she's lucky that it wasn't a Hajj. What would happen in a situation if it was the Ihram of Hajj?
The Ihram of Hajj, if she had relationship before Tawaf, before Wukuf Arafat, Hajj is invalid. Hajj is invalid. And she will have to complete the rites of Hajj. And if she had done that after the Wukuf of Arafat, before the Tawaf Ziyara, then there is one Budna, one big animal they have to slaughter. One big animal.
That's a camel or a cow.
Camel or a cow. That's very expensive, Mulana.
Does this mean that she'll have to repeat the Hajj again? Or
no. In the first case, yes. Not in the second case. In the first case, if it was done before the Wukuf and Arafat, the whole Hajj has to be repeated again the next year. And the second case, the Budna, the dam is a sacrifice of a goat. The Budna is a sacrifice of a big animal. So the Budna will come into place two times. One is in two maslas. One is this masla that we have mentioned before Tawaf and Ziyara having relationship. So the Budna will make the Hajj valid. And another time is if the lady is in the halat of haiz, menstruation, and she has to leave due to some reason, if the flight is there, cannot be cancelled or postponed, and cannot be delayed, and she has to leave and she did not make a Tawaf and Ziyara as yet, then she makes a ghusl, goes and makes the Tawaf and Ziyarat in that state. But she gives one sacrifice of a budna, of a big animal. That is a camel or a cow or a buffalo. Now mostly in Saudi Arabia it will be a camel. So in those two maslas the budna comes into play and comes into action there.
Jazakallah, Mufti Sahib. Listeners, 011-854-1548 is the number to dial. You can speak directly to Mufti Inyas. He's taking your questions and answering them. And inshallah, it will be easy for you. And any doubt that you have on your mind on Hajj, inshallah, Mufti Sahib will answer that. It seems as if the questions are only coming through the fax, Mufti Sahib. The next one we have is the question is as follows. Please inform me whether the meat in Saudi Arabia, is it permissible to eat from food outlets and the butchers? Also regarding meat shawarmas that can be bought on the roadside. What's your comments on that, Mufti Sahib?
As far as the meat is concerned, then if you go to an outlet, you as a client, as a customer, you are fully entitled to inquire where they are getting their meat. And if they are getting the meat not from the Saudi kingdom, and if they are getting their meat from Brazil and Yugoslavia or wherever it is coming from, then please abstain. If the chicken is coming from Al-Wataniya, Wataniya is their local slaughtering plant, and that is halal, and you should consume that without any doubt. The local butchery obviously is slaughtering locally. That is no problem. However, the best course of action for a South African or any person who wants to be cautious is if you have got a self-catering apartment. And many of the packages have got self-catering apartments. Now, a South African should realize a few things, basically. Number one, that there is enough food in Makkah. Number two, there is enough live stock in Makkah al-Mukarramah. Number three, there is enough vegetable shops in Makkah al-Mukarramah. And number four, if you go to the marketplaces, inshallah you won't get mugged. No one is going to stab you, no one is going to rob you, and no one is going to shoot you or anything. So it is very safe. You should go and investigate and take your family, do some shopping, and get nearby wherever you are staying, you'll be able to access live chickens. You can slaughter it yourself or have it slaughtered in front of you, cleaned in front of you, and bring it and you can cook it. You can go to the fish market, go to the vegetable market, buy the fresh produce and cook it. And then you will be settled, your mind will be settled. However, if you do not want to do that, you as a client, as a customer, are fully entitled to inquire from the person you are buying that where are they getting the meat. And the phrase that kullu halal, everything is halal, is not sufficient. Why? Because now some research has come forth, done by even Mufti Taqi Osmani, Damat Barakatuh, stating that the chickens that are coming from outside, the kingdom has got no control over that. It is a lengthy research produced by him in Arabic, which states clearly that one should be extremely cautious and abstain from those chickens, the meat that is coming from outside the kingdom. In the kingdom, alhamdulillah, it is quite safe. There are a few outlets which are Saudi-based, bazaars, fakirs. Those are safe because they have got their own poultry farms and they have got their own slaughterers, etc. So that is kosher and you can partake of that. So be coming from outside, be careful.
Mufti Saab, another question comes to mind pertaining to that. Unlike here in South Africa, we have the outlets that have the certificates, etc., to prove to us that they are getting their meat from certified places. In Saudi Arabia, it's a different story altogether. So do the Haji just accept it on face value and ask the owner, and the owner says, yes, it's halal? Or should the person maybe investigate further, or what's the procedure there?
If the sufficient is for the Haji, that he must go and inquire. And if the person deceives him and bluffs him, and if the person tells him a lie, then the onus is upon the liar, the one who is deceptive, and not upon the purchaser. So unfortunately, there is no such thing as a Sanha controlling body or something there that supervises officially for the Haji to take cognizance of what is going on there, what is halal, what is haram, what is to abstain from, etc. So he has to make some direct inquiries and then take the word for the person and proceed.
Jazakallah, Aziz Mufti Saab. 011-854-1548 is the number to dial. You can speak to Mufti Ilyas on the Q&A. He's taking all your questions on Hajj, any aspect pertaining to Hajj. The next one we have, Mufti Saab, is a person works for a travel agency. Now he's confused. He hasn't made Hajj before. By him entering the Haram as a worker for the travel agency, does it make Hajj compulsory on him? Does he have to fulfill the rites of Hajj?
Person working for a travel agency, then he should make adequate arrangements that he should be making the Hajj or the Umrah, especially those who are doing the services for travel agents. They, alhamdulillah, are making some money, and especially when they are shuttling between Medina and coming to Makkah for short durations. Every time they come from Medina to Mecca, they will adorn Ihram and go and make their Umrah. And the laxity comes not in their case, not in the case that has been specified by the questionnaire, because he is employed by a travel agent, so he must make Umrah every time he crosses the Nikah and adorn Ihram, inshallah.
And Hajj, what about Hajj?
Hajj, if he's a travel agent and if he's a travel agent and he's got no restrictions enforced or by the Hajj ministry on him, then he must make the Hajj. If he has got the Hajj ministry has specified that you cannot make Hajj, understand clearly what I'm saying, that if the Hajj ministry tells that person, you cannot make Hajj because of this reason or that reason, or you're a travel agent, or you're a khadib or khuddam of the Hujjaj, then we will say because of the restrictions imposed by the Hajj ministry, because of the prohibition enforced by the Hajj ministry upon that individual, Hajj does not become obligatory or wajib upon that person. Because one of the factors to make Hajj obligatory is that safety of road, and there is no prevention. Yeah, there is prevention. The prevention is that the Hajj ministry does not want that person to make the Hajj. And the Hajj ministry at times is very strict on this and stringent on this law, that they do not want certain individuals to make Hajj. So that individual, in the Allah, in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of the restriction imposed upon him, he does not have to make the Hajj.
And is it only with regards to Hajj ministry? What about the owners of the travel agent?
The owners of the travel agent cannot put that restriction.
Even if the worker is going on their expense?
Yes, even if the worker is going on their expense.
Jazakallah, Mufti Saab. The next one, it's a question that always comes about. Can ihram be washed with normal washing powder and fabric softener?
The ihram should be washed with such cleansing agent that does not give off any fragrance. It must be odorless. When you smell the ihram after that, there must be no fragrance coming out of that ihram. We have got reports that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam applied ether to his body, his physical body, not to his ihram. So we should abstain from washing the ihram cloth with such cleansing material which will result in the clothing of ihram giving off fragrance.
Jazakallah, Mufti Saab. 011-854-1548 is the number to dial. You can ask Mufti Saab your questions directly over the air, inshallah, and clarify your minds. The next one we have, Mufti Saab, is the person says that can he perform Umrah on behalf of his mother? He is working in Saudi Arabia and his mother is in India. His mother is very old, and he wants to know that on behalf of her, can he make Umrah?
But realize that in principle, that Umrah is not like Hajj, number one. Secondly, that Umrah does not become obligatory or wajib upon a person. But Hajj becomes obligatory upon a person. Umrah, that means, is a laudable action, is an action, a sunnat action. So the person, he can make the Umrah, and prior to making the Umrah, just like he is going to make any ibadat, say that, Ya Allah, I am making this, and the sawab of it, the reward of it, is for my mother. He can make the Umrah. There is no problem with that. So he can do such an action.
Okay, so the difference comes with the obligation.
There is no Umrah e Badal. Like we got Hajj e Badal, there is no Umrah e Badal.
Okay, Jazakallah, Mufti Saab. The next one, it's about young children under the age of 5. Is it compulsory for them to wear the ihram?
That's the question.
Jee.
Okay. Now, we should understand a few laws concerning the children. You say 5, we will just explain about nabalig children. Nabalig children, that means immature children. First of all, immature children, Hajj is not compulsory upon them. Hajj is not obligatory upon them. Hajj is not farz upon nabalig, immature children. So when it is not obligatory, that means, as a blanket rule, whatever errors, etc., they make, then they do not have to give any dam. I will repeat this, that whatever errors they make, whatever mistakes they make, no dam has to be given, because a Hajj itself is not obligatory upon him. When Hajj is not obligatory, the ramifications and the consequences of the performance of the Hajj, because it is not obligatory upon that person, will not apply. The consequences of dam, etc., come into effect when Hajj is obligatory upon the person. For example, Hajj is not obligatory upon an insane person. Now, insane person somehow the other gets there, and he adorns the ihram. He can make 200 errors. Nothing is wrong with him. No dam. Why? Because Hajj is not obligatory upon that person. Now, similarly, the nabali, the immature person, Hajj is not obligatory. So there is no dam. Also, there is no dam-e-shukr. Also, there is no dam-e-shukr. Thirdly, that now we will divide the immature child into two categories. One is that the child perceives, and one is the child does not perceive. Perceive meaning the child is of understanding, and one is the child is not of understanding. For example, the child is baby, or 1 year, or 2 years. Now the child does not understand the ihram concept, does not understand the ihram prohibitions, does not even understand what they're doing to me, what they're putting this clothing for me, what's going on here. Does not understand anything. On the other hand, the other child is shu'ur. Shu'ur having perception, having understanding, comprehension. That child, you will tell the child, see, we are going to put these two pieces of cloth for you, that you must not take it out, try to keep it on, and now you read some salat, and you make intention, you're going to go make your umrah, and don't do this, don't pull your hair, don't cut your nails, and don't scratch and take out your hair. All those things you will tell him. Don't use ether now, don't use fragrance. You will tell him all this. The girl, you will tell her, see, you can remain in that clothing, you make your salah, and don't use ether. So you can advise them. If they make a mistake, no problem. The 5-year-old child, one has to assess now. Is that 5-year-old child having shu'ur, perception, understanding, comprehension or not? And as the assessment will go, you will make a decision that, inshallah, the more the understanding, we will try to put the laws of ihram more upon that understanding person. The less the understanding, the less pressure or the less rules we will put for that child. Please.
Jazakallah, Muftisa. About children, what happens if a child goes with his or her parents on Hajj and the child is still not yet baligh, but during Hajj, maybe after 2 days, the child becomes baligh? Then how does the child, now he's an adult, how does he complete the Hajj? Does it become obligatory on him? What about the remaining portion of the Hajj, and also the 2 days that he was not baligh?
Are you talking of Ayyam-e Hajj or before Hajj?
The Ayyam-e Hajj, the days of Hajj.
If you're talking 2 days of Hajj, Arafat is gone.
Right.
If you're talking 2 days, Arafat is finished. And Al-Hajj Arafah, and one of the what you call the faraiz of Hajj, there are only three faraiz of Hajj. That is Ihram, Wukuf in Arafat, and Tawaf Ziyarah. So now, when you're talking of 2 days, with the Wukuf of Arafat is over, the person is already in Muzdalifah. However, what you have stated is a nice question. That let us say they were in Mina, to make your question interesting. That if they were in Mina, and on the 8th of the Zilhajj, they came away to Mina, and prior to going to Arafat, the girl became balig, or the boy was declared mature. Now what happened? Shall we say that, Manula?
Yeah.
Then the person here, he has already got Ihram on, will now will decide, the parents will decide of the child, that has the child got enough funding? Has the child got enough funding to complete this Hajj? Most of the children will be given funding by their guardians, that is the father and the mother. So the parents of that child who has turned balig in Mina, proceeding to Arafat, can be done, and the obligatory nature can be fulfilled, and that child who has turned balig in Mina will be subsequently absolved of the obligation of Hajj.
Okay. So in other words, the child doesn't have to come back next year for another Hajj.
No.
Jazakallah, Mufti Saab. The last question we have is about Umrah. And the question is as follows. The person says that if he performs Umrah after Ramadan, should Hajj, would it be farz on him in the same year? Is he allowed to come back home? What's the situation there?
That is, the person is making Umrah in Shawwal.
Yes.
And now the person is in a quandary, what to do? First let me tell you what is written in the classical work. Then I will tell you what is the fatwa. What is written, that if a person was in Makkatul Mukarrama in Shawwal, and that person did not perform the Hajj before and was Saib Mal, meaning had enough funding for Hajj, that person himself, and funding for home to maintain his house, then he has to stay there and perform the Hajj and come. If the person had performed Hajj and was in Makkah in Shawwal, then because the Hajj has been performed, the person does not have to stay there, the person can come away home. If the person was there in Shawwal, and the person was poor person, does not have funding, and one of the necessities of Hajj is funding, is finance, is money, to make the Hajj obligatory. The poor person does not have the money, Hajj is not far as a party, he comes back home. However, that these days, whether you are rich, whether you are poor, whether you have performed Hajj before and you are in Makkah in Shawwal, or whether you are have not done it or done it and you are in Makkah in Shawwal, whatever the situation and scenario be, the government of the kingdom wants you to leave. Wants every person who has come for Umrah of Ramadan to leave in Shawwal. They want to clear out so that they can upgrade facilities and so that they can organize themselves administratively, administrative purposes for the oncoming Hajjis, because to control 2.5-3 million Hajjis is no easy task. So they have got their logistics to cater for. They want to clear out those who have come for Ramadan Umrah. So whether you like it or you do not like it, they would clear you out. So as per government regulation, you will have to go home. So the fatwa will be now that you are majboor, you are incapacitated, you got no say in this matter, you will have to come back home. And then if Hajj is farz upon you, you will go and perform that Hajj.
Jazakallah, Mufti Saab. We really learned a lot of things from you today. That is why they say it's important to keep in touch with the Muftis. You gave us two masalas today it changed over the times. Evolution of fiqh, Mufti Saab, like the one of Hajj Badal, and now this one here. Alhamdulillah, that is why the listeners are always requested to keep in touch with the ulama and get the latest on the fiqh issues with regards to Hajj, and as we know, the muslims keep changing due to the circumstances and the times. Mufti Saab, your closing comments today?
Today, I would just like to mention, I thought we would go on a little bit longer. However, but I would just like to the listeners, if they are listening, they are going for Hajj, to please note quickly what I am going to say, that Tawaf is Ziyarah. Tawaf is Ziyarah starts from pre-dawn of the 10th of Zilhajj, and it has to be completed by the 12th of Zilhajj before sunset. I'll repeat that. The Tawaf is Ziyarah starts pre-dawn 10th Zilhajj. It has to be completed by those who have got no excuse, no valid Shari excuse, before the sunset of the 12th. And also, the Dhamma Shukr has to be done in these days. So the Ayyam and Nahr and the Tawaf and Ziyarat times are similar. That's one point. Secondly, that Alhamdulillah, you're going for Hajj, do not forget the Tadbir e Tashriq, that is recitation of Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, wa lillahi alhamd. That starts when you go to Mina. In Mina, you're performing five salat, the Zuhr, the Asr, the Maghrib, the Isha. After the Fajr of these, that means, technically speaking, the ninth at least, but we classify it like the eighth, and it goes on for 23 salat. The Asr of the 13th of Zilhajj, you stop. The Asr of the 13th of Zilhajj, you stop. However, do not forget to perform or to read the Takbir, which I have recited, which is called the Tashriq, Takbir Tashriq, in Muzdalifah. Because in Muzdalifah, you are going to make Jama' Bayna Salatain. After the Maghrib, you will make the Maghrib and Isha, one Azan, one Takbir, one Ikama. So after the Maghrib, before you make your Isha, in that gap, you will read your Takbir and Tashri. Then you will make your Isha, and then you will read again Takbir and Tashri. So that place you do not forget. And the second place, on the 13th, because 13th you have already, most of the Hujjaj have left Mina, and most of the Hujjaj of South Africa especially will be in Azizia. And there in Azizia, you may forget to read your Takbir and Tashri after the Asr Salat. So please do not forget that. A lot of Hujjaj also will go into Mecca, also do not forget to do that.
Jazakallah, Mufti Saab. And we close this week's Q&A with Mufti Abdul Hussein Ilyas. Inshallah, next week again.